This is Audible.
Audible Originals presents Lullaby, written by Jonathan Mayberry, performed by Scott Brick.
1. The realtor said, "Well, of course, you know it's supposed to be haunted." He made it a joke, saying that it was absurd. He didn't actually give them a wink, but it was implied. "Haunted?" echoed Jillian. She looked up at her husband, but Matt was smiling like a kid. "Cool," he said. "Who died there?" "Really?" demanded Jillian. "That's your question." "Well, I mean, haunted house, sweetie. You have to admit that it's pretty great." She gave him 2 seconds of an icy death stare, but it passed through him and left no mark on his goofy grin. This was pure Matt. He was smart, strong, educated, and a respected graphic designer. But at heart he was 12 years old, and probably always would be. Jillian, 3 years younger, had always been the adult in their relationship, though it was an uphill slog to try to nudge him away from monster movies, comics, and video games, and toward a transformation into a homeowner, husband, and, in a month, father. The realtor upped the wattage of his smile as Matt opened the gate on the whitewashed picket fence and took a few steps toward the house. It was gorgeous, and the agent began reciting the details, which was like giving tastes of crack to an eager addict. "The Catskills are the perfect place to get away from it all, and this place has it all. 5 bedrooms, 3 full baths, 3,800 square feet, a 2-car garage, a 2-story horse barn that can be converted into a gym or office. You're an artist, Matt? That space would be a great studio. Wood-burning fireplace in the living room and another in the master suite. 4.2 acres of land, including woods." "And a ghost," said Jillian coldly. "Oh, we have to say that. Yes, someone once heard something go bump in the night, and even though it's been newly renovated, it's an old house, full of charm and personality. There are always creaks and groans, and you're surrounded by a wonderful lush forest." She stood her ground, not wanting to go even a single step closer. The house was beautiful and, yes, charming, but even so... She absently touched her heavy belly and shook her head. The realtor leaned close and added, "We have to tell you if someone reported it as haunted. Silly, I know, but there's a law. Stambovsky v. Ackley. They call it the Ghostbusters Law. Isn't that hilarious? You could look it up. Not trying to hide anything, full disclosure. But let's face it, you've seen those ghost hunting shows. Do they ever find anything? No. Have they ever found proof that ghosts even exist? Of course not. It's hype and nonsense. All it does, folks, is lower the price of beautiful houses like this one. You couldn't come within 1,000,000 miles of a place like this for the price they're asking. Brand new kitchen, security system, hot tub." "Works for me," said Matt, with so much raw enthusiasm that Jillian knew she wasn't going to win this fight. Then a mother doe and 2 small fawns stepped out of the woods not 100 feet away. The babies walked on spindly legs, and the mother, patient and calm, stood watch as they began to eat wildflowers. She sighed. "Okay, we can look inside, but no promises." "Of course not," said the realtor, and beamed a barracuda smile. Jillian wondered if this was what fish felt like when they bit down on the juicy worm and felt the hook go deep. 2. The house was beautiful. Big rooms, high ceilings, and a warmth that seemed to have sunk into its bones. Jillian had researched every detail of the place and read the story in a back issue of the local paper about the so-called ghost. The story was silly and lacked even a shred of credibility. Matt laughed about it and kept bragging that some creaking timbers saved them $300,000. It was a quick sale because they had a loan for a much more expensive place, which left them plenty for some upgrades. a better security system, central air, and the conversion of one of the bedrooms into a nursery adjoining the master suite. Jillian had baby cams installed throughout, and Matt, delighted to have this place, didn't blink. He was busy converting the barn into an art studio, and his eyes were alight with possibilities. He had been doing graphic art and interior illustration for years, and like a lot of pros in his field, he was a better artist than his job required. Now, he'd have a studio to do some painting. 3 days before the baby came, he began a beautiful landscape canvas of the woods spilling down to the lakefront. At night, they sat in the living room with the drapes open to the spray of diamonds scattered across the night sky and a fire crackling comfortably in the hearth. Jillian sat with her head on Matt's chest and baby Hope asleep in her arms. She looked up to see Matt smiling down at the little body wrapped in a pink blanket with a pattern of sunflowers. "I thought babies were supposed to be noisy," he said. "She hardly even cries." "She cries," Jillian assured him. "Not much. Everyone I know who has kids kept warning me about not getting a full night's sleep for at least a year. And then the kid crying for no reason, no matter what we do, but..." Jillian touched his cheek, and then they both looked down at Hope. The little girl was so completely asleep that she was a boneless bundle of warmth. "She's an angel." A log shifted in the fireplace, sending a swirl of sparks up the chimney. Outside, a nightingale was singing, with counterpoint from a nightjar and a chorus of crickets. The moon would be up soon, and it looked like it was overflowing with silver that spread in a gleaming sheet across the lake's calm surface. Maybe Matt would paint that one of these days. Something to help Hope sleep through the nights. Every night. Jillian watched her baby, doing what parents have done for thousands of years, making sure the tiny chest rose and fell. Everything was perfect. 3. The full moon rose above the water, but streamers of clouds sharp as knives cut it to pieces. A cold breeze whipped down from the north, chasing the birds back under the leaves, bending the treetops, promising winter's early arrival with frosty brutishness. The flowers in the window boxes huddled back, but trapped against the cold window glass, shriveled and died. The crickets fell silent, wondering where the day's warmth had gone. None of them would live to see the dawn. Even the grass in the yard around the house grew stiff with icy fright and paled to a deathly yellow. The wind probed at the house with crooked fingers, finding little places where the renovation had been done poorly or the builders hadn't thought to look. Tendrils of cold writhed along the attic floor and crept down the stairs, hunting for warmth. Finding it. 4. Jillian was only half awake when she realized she was shivering. She'd been deep inside a dream of being lost in her own house, of wandering from room to room, finding doorways leading to yet more rooms she didn't know were there. She kept walking faster and faster, calling Matt's name, calling Hope's name, looking for them, and then finding one door sealed shut. She twisted the knob, but it would not open, and when she looked around in panic, there were no other doors in the room. It was a small room, cluttered with stuffed toys caked with dust and hung with mobiles of mermaids and unicorns and happy animals, broken and discolored, as if the room had been closed and locked, never to be opened. She whirled and looked down at the cradle set against a window. Her breath was ragged, her heart punching at the inside of her chest as she approached to see if her baby was okay. There was a small bundle in the cradle, swathed in blankets. But frozen air rose up, as if the tiny figure beneath those pink blankets was the source of all the coldness in the world. Jillian cried out and reeled back and woke up. She lay there on the very edge of the bed, curled into a fetal ball, her body shuddering from the frosty air. She sat up, fighting for balance, scooting back toward Matt, who was always hot, even on nights like this. That's when she caught sight of the small screen on the baby monitor. It showed the cradle, which was in the room next door. The cradle was rocking very slowly. Was it moving in the wind? God, could there be a window open? Jillian started to get up, but then froze completely, locked into the moment by what she saw on that monitor. A hand. The shadow of a hand. Long and thin. Too long. Too thin. Reaching out to touch the top rail of the cradle. Curling fingers around it. Rocking it. Back and forth. Very slowly. And then, through the speaker on the cam and through the open nursery door, Jillian heard the gurgling laughter of her baby. She leapt out of bed, tripping over a blanket that coiled around her ankle, fighting free, running, screaming for her husband, screaming her baby's name, just screaming. The nursery was 8 steps from the side of her bed, the cradle another 7 steps. It felt like a mile. She burst into the small room, fists balled, ready to hit someone, to fight, to kill. The cradle rocked slowly, as if a stiff breeze blew through a 2-inch gap between frame and sill. She skidded to a stop and snatched up her baby and hugged Hope to her chest. The baby burst into tears and screamed. Then Matt was there, his face puffy with sleep, but his eyes wild with fear. "What's wrong?" Jillian turned, clutching the wriggling form. "There was someone here." Matt stopped, eyes snapping wide. "What? Who? Where?" "I saw it on the baby cam. I saw someone touching the cradle." He looked around quickly. "Where'd they go?" I don't know." The nursery was small, open to the bedroom, but with a door to the hall that was closed. Matt rushed past Jillian and the baby and snatched that doorknob. It rattled, but did not turn. Just like in her dream. Matt paused, frowning at the small dial lock above the handle. He turned it, and the door clicked open. "Locked from inside," he said, his confusion turning the statement into a question. He opened the door and peered out into the hall, head tilted to listen. His frown deepened as he turned back to Jillian. "Did he go through the bedroom? I don't..." Her words trailed off because she'd seen him unlock the door from the inside, and no one could possibly have come through the bedroom without her seeing them. "I'll check the house," Matt said. And she loved him for that, for not making her wrong, even if she was. "Is the baby okay?" Jillian soothed Hope, who was still crying, but less stridently. She brought her into the bedroom and placed her on the mattress, checking her completely. There was no trace of a mark, no bruise, nothing. As she lay there, Hope calmed down, and the cries turned to hiccups. "Yes," Jillian breathed, picking her up again and patting Hope's back. Matt nodded, clearly relieved. He pulled on a sweatshirt and left. She heard him thump down the steps, intentionally making noise. Matt was a big guy, but he wasn't a fighter. He'd rather scare someone off than fight them. Hope burped, ending the hiccups. Jillian kissed her sweet head. And then movement on the baby cam caught her eye. The hand was there again, reaching for the cradle. She nearly cried out. And then a cloud moved away from the moon as the reaching hand became the shadow of a branch from the tree outside. Long, crooked fingers of wood, devoid of leaves, wearing a disguise to fool her in the dark of night. Jillian laughed. She almost sobbed. She called for Matt. He almost laughed, too. Almost. The night was black and cold, and their house was a long way from anyone. Neither of them really felt like laughing. 5.
The baby slept between them all night in their locked bedroom.
She slept with them for the next 10 nights. October continued to crumble away, and the wind off the lake was full of knives. On the 11th night, Matt rebelled. They had a queen bed in a room big enough for a king, and he liked to sprawl. It took a lot for Jillian to agree, but after Matt promised to go through the house and triple-check every window and door, she caved. They put Hope down together, took turns kissing the sleeping baby's cheeks, and then walked hand in hand back to bed. They held each other for a sleepless hour, both of them listening to the wind and to the bedroom, Matt sometimes looking over her shoulder at the baby cam. The night passed, followed by a dozen more. They all slept through the cold darkness. 6. A storm rolled in. There was no snow, just wind and thunder of the kind that belonged in a summer gale and had no decent place in autumn. The booms punched the house, rattling every loose board and threatening the windows. One huge crack jerked Matt and Jillian awake at the same moment, and they both immediately looked at the baby cam and saw the shadowy hand rocking the cradle. "Jesus Christ," cried Matt, as he vaulted out of bed and raced for the nursery with Jillian a half step behind. The cradle rocked back and forth, and the room was empty. Of course it was empty, except for the shadows of tortured and bare tree limbs scratching at the wall. As the echoes of the thunder rolled away between the trees, they heard a sound that chilled them both to the marrow. Hope was laughing. Her tiny hands were up, clutching at the darkness the way she always did when one of them was bending to pick her up. Except she was not looking at Jillian or Matt. Her eyes were fixed on the flickering shadows on the wall. She laughed and laughed and laughed.
7.
All next day, Matt worked on the house, while Jillian guarded Hope like a dragon. Matt checked every window and door. Again. He bought 15 additional baby cams and paid more than he wanted to for a man to come out and install motion detectors. The handyman looked at the trees and shook his head a lot.
"Gotta set these at the right angle, or every time the wind blows one of those branches, your lights will go on."
"Just do it," said Matt, in a voice that betrayed nerves and lost hours of sleep. The installer gave a philosophic shrug and set to work. Matt bought a new set of deadlocks for the front and back door and put those in himself, the kind that need a key from both sides, and with long screws that bit deep into the hardwood frames. He put a hefty padlock on the metal doors of the outside entrance to the cellar. The barn and garage were separate from the house, but he reinforced them too. As he worked, no matter where he worked, he kept looking back at the house. Jillian texted him 100 times. And he was fine with that. When all the work was done, and the sun was hanging off the edge of the world, he and Jillian sat with the baby in the living room, a fire burning bright to chase back the shadows. "It was just tree branches," said Jillian, with a self-deprecating laugh. "Of course it was," said Matt, flapping a dismissive hand. They smiled at each other. The smiles might as well have been made of plastic. Neither of them said a word about what the realtor had told them about this house, and why it was on the market for so low a price. Jillian felt like her smile was stapled to her mouth. Matt's looked every bit as false and fragile. When they went to bed, they kept the baby with them all night, and for a week after that.
8. The rains came that night. Cold, hard rain that slanted down with bullying aggression. The sound of it filled the house with a noise worse than thunder, because there was no pause in it. Jillian turned on some music and cranked it up. But not Beethoven, Adele, or the Rolling Stones could shout the rain down. Jillian sat feeding the baby by the fireplace while Matt walked the house, checking doors and windows, looking for leaks, feeling for wet breezes trying to sneak in through some crack he missed. The house, though, was snug. It creaked and complained, but it was built with good bones, and it was meant to endure worse than this. Outside, the trees groaned and reached for the house, as if trying to get in where it was warm and dry. The branches closest to the house were crippled, though. Matt had seen to that with a pole saw. He collected the skeletal debris and burned it in a barrel behind the shed. Jillian stood in the bedroom window, watching and nodding. She wondered how much it would cost to cut those trees down and haul the timber away. Somebody would want it. No way she'd ever want a chip of that wood to burn in her hearth. No damn way.
"Everything's snug and dry," said Matt as he came yawning back into the living room.
"You're sure?" she asked, setting the baby on the thick blanket they'd spread on the floor. "You checked everything. The kitchen door, the—"
"I checked everything."
There was a howl of heavy wind, and the lights flickered. Jillian gasped and took a step toward the baby.
"Don't worry," said Matt quickly. "The lights and security have battery backup, and I have flashlights, like, everywhere. And before you ask, they all have fresh batteries. If the lights go out, we can camp out here in the living room. We have enough wood to keep the fire going all night."
"I—" she began, and there was a huge wet crack from somewhere outside as an unseen tree succumbed to the brutality of the wind, and then the whole house was plunged into total darkness. It took their eyes a second to adjust because they were looking away from the fireplace. Then a downdraft knocked a log loose and the blaze flared, painting the room with flickering yellow light. Jillian knelt quickly beside the baby while Matt hurried over to get a flashlight. The exterior security lights flashed on, but they flickered as the wind drove the rain in persistent waves.
"Matt, are we okay?"
she asked in a desperate whisper.
"Of course we are, honey," he said, grinning in the firelight. "It's just a downed wire. With all the new stuff we put in, we couldn't be safer."
His response fell in the cracks between reassurance and condescension, and Jillian studied his eyes, afraid to find the fear that had to be in her own. But the movement of the flames from the burning logs danced shadows across his face and hid any true feelings. Jillian touched Hope's cheek, then smoothed the little thatch of brown hair over the soft skin of her head. Without looking up at her husband, she said, "I hate this house." Outside, the night winds howled. The lights stayed off, but after an angry hour, the thunder went grumbling away to the east. The rain, however, intensified and fell so hard that peering out the window was pointless. Matt closed the blinds and drew the drapes shut. "Let's go to bed," he suggested. But Jillian only shook her head. Matt frowned. "Why not? It's late, and by the time we wake up, it'll be light out." She looked at the stairs that ascended into blackness and shook her head. "I'm not taking my baby up there."
"My baby. My."
Matt tried not to wince at that. He turned away and sighed, and Jillian felt bad for her clumsy words. But it was a mother speaking from her heart. Hope had come to life inside of her, grown in her womb, passed through her into the world. Yes, thinking the baby was hers was selfish and inaccurate, but right now she felt like a mother bear or tiger. Defensive, angry, ready to fight her own fight if she had to. Matt got up from where he'd been sitting and poked at the fire. "Okay," he said, keeping his tone neutral. "I'll go get some stuff. Will you be okay here?" "Yes," she said. And again there was more bitterness in her tone than she intended. But she did not know how to control it. Not on a night like this. "Okay," he said. "Be just a minute." He flicked on a flashlight and followed the beam upstairs, returning twice. The first time with a huge armful of blankets and pillows. and then grunting as he clumsied the cradle down the wide wooden staircase. She can't sleep on the floor, but we want her close to the fireplace, so... Jillian got up, helped him position the pretty cradle, then took Matt in her arms and kissed him breathless. Afterward, she stood with her forehead against his chest. "I love you," was all she said. But it was enough. They tucked Hope in, kissing her and smiling at the small, trusting pink face. Then they used the blankets and comforters to turn the floor into a campsite, with cradle's frame within easy reach. "Safe," she murmured. But by then, Matt was asleep. She snuggled into him, and weariness pulled her all the way down. 9. Jillian woke to the sound of the cradle rocking. She felt like her body was still more than half asleep, so all she could manage was to open her eyes just a slit. The cradle, there, at the edge of the pile of blankets, moved back and forth very slowly, very gently. Her pulse began to quicken, but then she saw Matt's hand on the corner of the frame, guiding the soothing movements. "Did she wake up?" whispered Jillian. "Was she crying?" Matt groaned and turned over, and suddenly Jillian snapped awake. Matt was on her left, curled into a ball, with both of his hands held in loose fists by his chest. Jillian's head snapped back toward the cradle and saw the hand still rocking it. For a fragment of a second. And then she screamed. Because the hand was not Matt's, and it seemed to be made of nothing but darkness. Matt jerked away and actually jumped to his feet, flinging the covers away. Clearly he had been tense in his dreams, and now he was ready to hurt something. Anything. "It was back," cried Jillian. And despite the impossibility of it, Matt knew exactly what she was talking about. They crowded together over the cradle and stared in abject horror. The entire cradle was awash in rainwater. It dripped from the plastic mobile. It ran in crooked lines down the slats and spattered on the floor and puddled around Jillian and Matt. The baby lay there, soaked to the skin, blue with cold, shivering and coughing. Jillian snatched Hope up, and Matt grabbed a blanket and whipped it around them both. They took Hope closer to the fire and warmed her, breathing on her tiny hands, kissing her, crying and saying her name, telling the shivering infant that it was all right, that Mommy and Daddy were there, that everything was fine. It wasn't. 2 minutes later, they were in the car and heading to the hospital. Matt drove in that range between blind panic and fear of hurting his family. Jillian held the swaddled Hope and called the doctor. Reassurances from the hospital staff and the doctor were not, in fact, at all reassuring. The rain started up again. "How the hell?" muttered Matt as he drove. "There was no leak in the roof. There was nothing. How the hell?" There were no answers at all. The car punched through the rain and the blackness. Hope wriggled sluggishly in Jillian's arms. "Hurry, hurry, hurry." Ahead, the lights of the hospital gleamed like a promise through the slanting rain. The doctors and nurses were waiting. They were calm, confident, capable. They said reassuring words. They acted as if this was nothing. They took Hope with great gentleness, and Jillian ghosted along behind, feeling as if she was being dragged through a nightmare. Matt was there in her periphery, holding her hand, but lost in his own terror. Jillian heard snatches of conversation between the professionals huddled around her baby. "Acute inflammation of the lung parenchyma, respiratory distress and hypoxia, streptococcus pneumonia," and on and on. The word pneumonia punched her in the gut and knocked all the air out of the world. The night went on and on. 10. They admitted Hope. "Just for a night," said the doctor. "Just until we get her fever down." That was on the 20th of October. "Just for the night" became a few days. Then, over the weekend, After that, they stopped giving Matt and Jillian any guesses. A few days became a week. A week became a month. They waited. They slept in chairs beside her bed. They began snarling at each other for the smallest thing. They held each other and wept. At 10 o'clock on a crisp and bright Thanksgiving morning, they took her home. Hope cried off and on all the way. Cried. Did not cough. Jillian and Matt washed her and kissed her and put her to bed in a brand new cradle they bought online. The old one was smashed to splinters out behind the barn. They spent a lot of time just watching her breathe. That tiny chest, rising and falling without a hitch, without a tremble, rising and falling with a beautiful regularity. "She's beautiful," said Matt. "She's perfect," said Jillian. The baby smiled in her sleep, nestled in her blankets in the new cradle, well away from windows or pipes. Matt and Jillian knew the location of anything that could possibly leak. The floors and walls and ceiling were marked with lines of tape, mapping everything. "I hate this house," Jillian said, echoing what had become a mantra for her. Matt nodded, trying not to engage on that because it usually ignited a fight. Jillian said, "He told us it was haunted." Another nod. "The house hates us," she said. Matt thought about all the time and money they'd put into the place. He thought about the incredible studio he'd set up in the barn and the flawless, beautiful views of forest or lake from every window. He thought of how perfect the place was. He took a breath. "Then we'll sell it and move." Jillian studied him for a long time, then dabbed at her eyes. They watched the baby sleep. Near midnight, they moved from their chairs by the cradle to the bed and sat holding hands, happy and weary. "Every test came back negative," said Matt for the 10th time since they got home. "I know," said Jillian. "She's completely clear." "I know." She turned and took his face in both her hands and kissed him sweetly on the lips. It was their first real kiss in 6 weeks. She had tears in her eyes. So did he. They made love on the bedspread. It was a sweet and gentle act. It was an affirmation of life. They could not hear the baby's slow breathing. And so they did not hear her breath when it stopped. 11. The winter lasted for 10,000 years. When spring came, the house was silent and seemed determined to hold on to the chill. Matt worked in his studio more and more, and sometimes he slept in there. It was where his paints were. It was where he kept the bottles that got him through the nights. His canvases were strange now. Landscapes still, but they were of blighted places. Fields grown dark with rot, diseased trees, stagnant water beside forests where no flowers grew. One canvas, smaller than the others, was of a quiet corner of a country cemetery, a plot with fresh sod and a stone with a name that now seemed like a horrible joke. Hope. That single canvas remained unfinished. In the house, Jillian sat in her chair on the days when she found the energy to get out of bed. "Hope," she said aloud at least a dozen times a day. But the house was empty, and the word echoed in dusty rooms. The cradle was in the nursery. They hadn't destroyed this one. It wasn't the cradle, after all. They both knew it wasn't the cradle. The baby cams were still on, everywhere in the house. She could see it best from her chair beside the bed, because she could also see into the nursery. The cradle was as still and silent as if it was in one of Matt's paintings, frozen into the eternal moment of that quiet house. "Hope," whispered Jillian. 12. Matt heard the sound, and for a moment he thought it was a seagull over the lake. Until it wasn't that at all. Until it was a scream. His whiskey glass dropped from his hand and smashed on the ground as he dashed for the door, kicked it open, ran like mad toward the house. The screams were so high-pitched they sounded raw and wet and so very, very wrong. He slammed through the front door and took the stairs three at a time. "Jillian!" he roared. But her screams were too loud. He tore down the hall and bashed the bedroom door open. Jillian stood in the corner. She was as white as death, and there was blood on her lips from the terrible screams that ripped their way out of her. She punched her own head as if trying to smash away what she saw. "What's wrong?" he demanded. She could not speak. That was impossible. Her screams needed to come out. All she could do was point at the baby cam, at the screen. He stopped and stared at it, at the cradle in the nursery, at the slowly rocking cradle, at the hand that rocked it. Jillian took a breath between screams, and that's when Matt heard the sound, through the speakers and coming from the nursery, the creak of the rocking cradle, and the high, sweet sound of a baby laughing. Jillian screamed again. So did Matt. The end.
This has been an Audible Originals production of Lullaby, written by Jonathan Mayberry, performed by Scott Brick. Executive producers Steve Feldberg and Mike Charzik. Produced by Joy Smith. Edited by John Dracy. Mastered by Brett Lubansky. Copyright 2018 by Jonathan Mayberry. Sound recording copyright 2018 by Audible Originals, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.